This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it!
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz.
Brought to you by Jordan's Furniture, Bing Y World Class Market, Brennan Smoke Shop, Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC and Electric, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Advanced Auto Parts, U.S. Marker Board, Boston Volkswagen, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmower, Foxwoods Resort Casino, Jackson Lumber, and Mass General Cancer Center.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Okay, here we go, Red Sox fans. Here we go. Opening day now, just a few days away. Red Sox will open against the Seattle Mariners on Thursday night in Seattle. And so the Baseball Reporters is back, bitches. It's back. We'll be with you throughout the baseball season up until the Red Sox are eliminated, whenever that is. And I'll ask Jimmy Stewart, our producer, 617-779-0985. Jimmy, if you could open up the phone lines right away. Any and all things Red Sox here leading up to opening day on Thursday night, but there are a couple things that I would like to touch on. Jim Murray is alongside, as always. And to me, I was out last week. So here's what we're going to do tonight, okay? These are the items I would love to address, and obviously I'll take any of your thoughts and calls on anything related to this team as they enter the regular season. And we'll build up till Thursday night. And I should point out to you, too, that Jimmy put together a montage of the 2018 season that really encapsulates it pretty well. We're going to play that for you a couple of times this week because I think, as a fan, that you should be able to still enjoy that championship right up until they throw the first pitch on Thursday night. After that, I am not going to mention it again. And if you do, I'm a big believer in this, Murray, in all seriousness, that at some point you do have to show up and play the next season. You don't get to just have parades forever over winning a championship. You actually have to show up and play the next season.
It's the Belichick mentality of we're on to fill in the blank.
Absolutely. You have to. That's just the way it works. You can celebrate the championship only for a certain length of time. Nonetheless, it was a truly special year for the Red Sox. So, Jimmy, again, wrapped it up. And, Jimmy, it's about 5 minutes, you said?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so we're going to play that at the end of the show tonight. We'll play it again later in the week. But, to me, the big stories going on with the Red Sox last week were Chris Sale and his contract extension, Mookie Betts and the absence of a contract extension, and then that bullpen and a comment that Alex Cora has made here within the last couple of days that I think, frankly, is playing with fire. So once again, we'll open up the phone line, 617-779-0985. We'll touch on any and all things, but I want to start with Sale. And so, Murray, let me ask you quickly. When Chris Sale signed for 5 years and $145 million, which is $29 million a year exactly, and there are some wrinkles or technicalities in that deal that actually benefit the Red Sox further, and I say further because I do think it's a team-friendly deal that Sale signed, which we'll get to in a minute. But when you heard that Sale signed, were you surprised?
No, I wasn't. And you nailed this, too, right as spring training started. And some of the comments made, not just by Dave Dombrowski, but by John Henry and how they handled the John Lester situation. I think it was the very next day that we heard that stuff. You said, Sale's going to be signing here. They're going to give him an extension. And you were right. And I understand it. They've obviously put a very strong emphasis on pitching with this team. And that, you know, David Price opts in, the contract they gave to Nathan Eovaldi, and Chris Sale is a stud. I, like you, though, would have waited. And this was the red flag is the injury concern, his breakdown. You look at his numbers in August and September in his career and how the ERA goes up. I do think that there's a legitimate injury concern with that shoulder with Chris Sale. I would have waited to see how he played this year before I give him any kind of extension. But surprised? No.
Okay, so let's stick with the surprise part of it first, because anyone who didn't see this coming wasn't paying attention. And so thank you for giving me credit, Murray. It's not many times that I'm right. But nonetheless, I don't think I was the only one. I think there were a lot of people that heard Henry at the beginning of camp and said, oh boy, they're going to throw a pile of money at this guy. And Jimmy, I don't even remember the date, but this was early February.
It was like second day of camp.
Wasn't it like February 10th? I mean, it was sometime early there in February.
February 18th.
February 18th. Okay, so just after Valentine's Day. But either way, the start of camp, right? Because if you remember, pitchers and catchers, I think, reported, I want to say like the Monday after the Super Bowl. For crying out loud. But in any case, Henry was asked about Chris Sale, and I cut off the question because it was Sean McAdam who went on for 20 seconds.
That's a short question for Sean.
Well, it is a short question for Sean. But Sean basically asked him, do you think Chris Sale is an outlier and goes against conventional thinking when it comes to giving a 30-year-old pitcher a multi-million dollar, multi-year contract extension? Here's how Henry answered, and there is a follow-up from Steve Buckley in there. But nonetheless, here's how Henry began.
I think Chris falls out of the norm because he's just such a great, not just a great pitcher, but a great part of the team. As we saw in the World Series, he had quite an impact just being on the bench of the World Series. So he's a special player. We would love to be able to sign him. I think he would like to as well. But there are the realities of the marketplace and budgets, and this is his opportunity to be a free agent, so potentially, which we'd like to avoid, but I think he would as well, so something could happen.
Is everything you just said sort of applied to John Lester a few years ago?
I think we blew the John Lester, we blew re-signing him in spring training, so for reasons that are pretty apparent now, which I won't go into, but they're apparent.
How about that? Like, again, going back February 18th, and we made a big deal of this at the time. I think we blew the John Lester negotiation, which, for one, is throwing Larry Lucchino under the bus now that he's not here to defend himself, although we all knew that at the time. But more importantly, asked about signing a pitcher in his 30s, Buckley says to John Henry, well, isn't that like the Lester thing? Well, but we blew the Lester thing. We blew it. So, of course, they were going to sign Sale, or at least they were going to make a legitimate effort to. I am like you, Jim Murray. I look at it and say, this is dumb. To do it now is dumb. I said this at the time. So this is not revisionist history after they give him the deal to say that it's dumb. I said it back in February that I thought it would be stupid to give Sale this contract right now. And Buster Olney, Murray pointed this out to me earlier. Buster Olney, who I think is one of the real good baseball guys out there in terms of the, you know, the real understanding of the X's and O's of the game, not that it's nuclear physics or anything of the like, but Buster is hardly a sensationalist when it comes to baseball. Okay, he wrote today, somebody has to say it. Henry and the Red Sox have made another mistake with a lefty ace, Chris Sale, this time with an outsized $145 million, five-year extension on top of the $14.5 million he will make this year. In the current context, in the current market, it appears to be a significant overpay and an assumption of enormous risk. That's Buster Olney. That's not me. Okay, that's not me. And I know you out there think that I just dump on everything the Red Sox do. I don't. There are some things that I like. Buster Olney thinks this was a mistake.
Yeah, that's no flamethrower. When I saw this today pop up on ESPN, I was like, whoa, all right, this is worth reading.
So now there are some things I agree with Buster on this and some things I disagree. When Buster calls this an enormous overpay, I actually think the Red Sox came out pretty good.
So do I. Yeah, I thought it seemed very team-friendly from an AAV standpoint, as we learned over the weekend a little bit more in terms of some of the outs, like player options and stuff like that. It's like, oh, this actually really is pretty good, I think, on both sides, but it is team-friendly.
And I'll tell you what, let's say that it's 5 years and 145, Murray. Let's say it's $29 million a year. 3 years ago, David Price got 7 and 210.
Right.
They just said, this is $55 million less than that. This is less than what John Lester signed for with the Cubs 4 years ago or 3 years ago, whenever it was. Like, this is less than all of that. The Red Sox did okay on this deal. They did better than I thought they would. Again, I would not have given them the money right now. I'd have waited. But the fact that they did should tell you a couple of things. One, Sale's the one really making the sacrifice here. Buster's wrong. If this guy hit the market, for all this gripe about this climate, this context, this current market, boy, there was a ton of money thrown around during the month of March, wasn't there?
Yeah, and I think he's also comparing it unfairly to positional players more than anything else.
So, and go ahead.
Well, no, the way he worded that, it's like, well, you can't compare this to the money that Machado got or Trout just got in that extension with the Angels. Like, that, I thought, was a little disingenuous.
Okay, so let's leave that one out.
Yeah.
Patrick Corbin got $140 million from the Washington Nationals. He's a 500 pitcher. Patrick freaking Corbin. Nathan Eovaldi got $17 million a year. I think he's got a career losing record. And as a guy who's had nothing but an injury history. So in terms of Sale at 29, the Red Sox did okay there. I still wouldn't have done it. And I thought Beadle made a great point today on the midday show because people always look at this wrong. We all want the player. The question is, what does it cost you to do it now versus later? We all want, of course I want the player. The Red Sox didn't have a choice. They have nobody in the minor league system. They had to pay this guy.
But I don't think that there was a rush to do so. That was the thing. And look, and I agree with some of the stuff that John Henry said. It's these intangibles, what a clubhouse presence he is. So I can understand why they would want to extend him. But because of how he's broken down late in the season, throughout most of his career, I mean, the numbers go up anyway, but that real injury scare last year, just wait till the end of this year.
I mean, to me, that's what I would have done. And again, I thought that Beadle put it a good way in the middle of the day, and we'll get to that here in a minute. I'd like to get to Mookie Betts a little later in the show, but if we don't, we can do Betts tomorrow. We get all week, so if you want to weigh in on sale, we can do that. Cameron is in Lowell. We'll kick it off with him tonight. Cameron, what do you got? Jimmy, Cameron in Lowell, is he up? Oh, there you are. Go ahead, Cameron.
Yeah. I love when Jones isn't on. Love the baseball reporters. So I am happy with the Chris Sale trade as long as the Red Sox continue to learn and get better with it. So this will be the third year of Sale. The first year, he didn't pitch much at the end, and he was kind of terrible after the All-Star break. Last year, he was okay after the All-Star break, and then he got even more injured. So if they can manage the load and kind of – I thought last year was better than the first year, so if they can continue to get better – I like it, as I think it'll just cost them more and leave a sour taste in Chris Sale's mouth if they wait until the end of this season.
Cameron, I'm going to stop you there, okay? Because I look at it and I say, how much more can they manage the workload? They had the guy in freaking Huggies last year for the entire season. They babied him all season long. And he pitched, 13 innings after the All-Star break in the regular season and then in the postseason? And in the postseason, he wasn't the same guy. So you know what? I looked this up. You remember a former intern, Tucker?
Oh, he's the best.
The Havid kid?
Yeah.
Tucker did a little research for me. I texted him because he's good at this kind of crap. And I didn't have the patience to do it. I could have done it myself, but I'm too lazy. Seriously, I'm not joking. I sort of looked at it and said, I'm not doing that. I'll ask Tucker. He'll do it. Isn't that pathetic? Really. But I look at it. Chris Sale, August 15th and after in his Red Sox career. Okay, after August 15th in his Red Sox career, Chris Sale, 8-10 with a 4.11 ERA. That includes postseason. And in the postseason in his Red Sox career, he has an ERA of 5.76. You're telling me the Red Sox couldn't have waited until October or November and then tried to sign Sale, kept things on good terms with him and said, Chris, we just want to wait. We're a little worried about the shoulder. Okay, I don't know. Maybe he would have gotten pissed off. I doubt it. I think he wants to stay here. But the health thing with Sale is real, and the fade is real. And I'll tell you why they should have done it that way, not just for the simple fact that he has a shoulder issue, but I don't think it really would have cost him a lot more money, and I'll explain why when we come back. So baseball reporters off and running here in 2019. We'll be with you all year long. Excuse me. We'll get to that assessment of the Chris Sale signing when we come back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Mazzarotti, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Well, he's healthy. He had minor issues. They ended up taking a bit of time. He needed some rest at one point, but he hasn't had any significant shoulder issues. Significant.
So again, that's John Henry from February 18th talking about Chris Sale's shoulder issue last year. Remember, Sale pitched very little after the All-Star break last year, and the Red Sox babied the hell out of him in spring training and in the first half. This wasn't John Farrell running him into the ground and letting him chase his 300 strikeout in 2017 or anything of the like. It wasn't that. This was different. They babied him, and he still broke down the stretch. And I say broke down loosely. But the Red Sox, nonetheless, gave him his money, which ultimately I think they were forced to do, which we'll get to in 1 second. But my question is, how much would it really have hurt them by waiting? And if you want to tell me they would have lost Sale, maybe, but I think Sale's the kind of guy that wanted to be here. And clearly, given him the contract he signed, and I think they could have worked with him. Said, Chris, just sit tight. We're just a little worried about that shoulder. And so we want to take care of you, but you know, maybe it, if you end up getting hurt, it ends up being incentive laden. Okay, like, let's see. Or it ends up being a different kind of deal. Now, again, that's a hard thing for the player to accept. But Beto made this point on the Midday Show today, and it's always the way you have to look at it. The Red Sox were willing to give Sale, at his age, 5 more years on top of this one and $145 million. Okay? $145 over 5 years. So what? How much more was it going to cost them if they waited? A sixth year? Was it going to cost them $170? I don't think it was ever going to cost them what they gave Price. So really, when you weigh it out that way, $25 million over 6 years, it would have cost them on average another $4 million per season in terms of AAV and luxury tax. They couldn't have endured that just by waiting. By waiting, they could have saved themselves somewhere around $125 million if this guy got hurt. Okay, really. By signing him then, it would have cost them just $25 more. Something like that. The risk reward here for signing him, the risk is way higher than the reward. Way higher. And if you're looking for a longer term concern with the Red Sox, here it is. Now, to Sale's credit, he was also willing to defer some of the money. So I don't know if you guys saw this part of the story, that the actual luxury tax hit is only about $25 million. It's not $29 million. So again, that's a commentary on Sale. But between Sale, Price, and Eovaldi, the Red Sox have almost $80 million tied up in three pitchers who are in their 30s, two of them who have elbow history and one who missed the second half of last year with a bad shoulder, and they're all in their 30s. So this team is built on its starting pitching. That's how they win, generally speaking. And now all their money, or almost half their payroll, is tied up in three guys who are over 30. 617-779-0985. Frank's in New Jersey. Frank, what do you got?
Hey, guys, I want to talk about David Price, or I have a question for you.
Go.
After his really good ALCS and World Series, do you think he will be highly motivated to come back and have a big year, or do you think he takes the foot off the gas?
So, Frank, I don't know if he can possibly be as motivated as he was last year. I mean, how can he be more motivated than Price was going into the postseason? In fact, he was so motivated, I think, that oftentimes it was a negative, that the weight of all of his postseason failures piled up and was on his shoulders every time he went to the mound. So he had reason to pitch well for both his teammates, for himself. I don't think you could find a guy that was more motivated to pitch well.
Yeah, it certainly looked like he was too amped up when he went against the Yankees in that first series. But then when they got to the series against the Houston Astros, like, he became a completely different guy. He got over the hump mentally.
So do you think it's now that that's gone, a lot of times, Murray, when a guy
achieves himself.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, a lot of times when a guy achieves something, he sort of backs off, coasts, and he's not as good. Do you think that will happen with Price, or do you think that he could benefit from it?
I think he can benefit from the way that he pitched last postseason. Once he got over that mental hurdle, he looked like how he looks when he's dominant in his regular season starts. I don't think that there's going to be any kind of like massive drop-off or anything like that this year.
See, I'm with you. I think that there is a greater likelihood here that he has a good year. Because you know what? He's not going to the mound with all of that baggage now. He's not carrying all those suitcases with him out to the mound every night, let alone in October. Like, to me, there's a chance here that David Price is going to be better. He will be better this year during the regular season. And he might even be better in October. Who the hell knows? I mean, this guy's completely gotten the burden off his shoulders. Chris is in a car on Chris Hale. Go ahead.
Tony, thanks for taking the call. I'll take the answer off there. And by the way, to your point about emotional baggage, do you think they wanted to get the contract out of the way so that this guy could pitch, you know, the first half of the season in good, you know, with a clear mind, number one, and then number two? more to the point, does he pitch better in the first half of the season or the back half of the season in general? And on that, I'll take the answer off air, and thank you again, and great to hear you back on there.
Bye. Well, I appreciate that, Chris. Chris, look, I would say that generally speaking, you know, we all know this. Sale has been a better pitcher in his career in the first half than the second. It's really not even that close. And the numbers really become more striking in late August and September. And I gave these to you earlier, but I will give them to you again. Since he has been with the Red Sox, if you want to throw out all those White Sox years, go ahead, throw them out. You want to tell me he wasn't pitching with a team that had anything to play for? And that was the argument when Sale came here, that he pitched for a White Sox team that was playing meaningless games, and that's why his performance tailed off late in the year. That's what people here wanted to believe. I told you the guy had a history of fading. No one wanted to hear it at the time. And you know what's happened since he's come to Boston? He's faded.
It's the same thing.
He faded in 2017. He faded in 2018. So again, I had Tucker, our former intern, the Harvard kid. I had Tucker look it up. In his career with the Red Sox, since August 15th, including postseason, Chris Sale is 8-10 with a 4.11 ERA. 4.11, 8-10. Is that the guy you want to pay $29 million a year to for 5 years? Because I don't.
No, and just for poops and giggles, if you want the combined losing record in his career in August-September, he's 26-29, and the ERA is more than a run higher than normal. Like, so, it's around 3.5.
So the fact is that he has been exactly here what he was in Chicago.
Exactly.
Okay, now, that's not to say he's a bum.
No.
In August and September.
No, but there's a massive red flag.
But he's mediocre.
In terms
then,
of a concern.
Right? That's what he is mediocre. Would you say 26-29?
Correct, yes.
Okay, and with the Red Sox, it's 8-10. I mean, I just multiply those by 3, and I come out with 24-30, and you say 26-29. So that's pretty much the same thing. He really is the same guy that he was in Chicago. People just didn't want to believe it because they thought it had something to do with the fact that he was on a bad team. Take a look at him. He's a rail. I'm glad he's back, obviously. And the real story here, if you want to get into the Red Sox, the real story is that they did not have a choice. They had to sign Sale. The fact that they had no leverage and ended up giving him what they gave him is actually a win for them because it should have cost them 7 or 8 years with the way some of these contracts are being doled out. Patrick Corbin got 6, and he's a losing pitcher, and he got $140 million with the Nationals. 6-140, and he's a bum, or average, really, when you weigh it out. The Red Sox had to give Sale this money because they don't have anything coming in that minor league system. They don't have an answer. If they weren't going to pay Sale, they had to pay someone else. Someone else on the market. And so they looked at it and said, well, this guy's a known commodity. We know he can hack the market. So we're not going to make the Lester boner again. If we're going to make a mistake, it's going to be a different kind of mistake. But we're not going to leave ourselves without pitching when we've got Mookie Betts, potentially J.D. Martinez, Xander Bogaerts, who knows? And he's up at the end of the year, too, Bogaerts is. Not to mention Porcello, who you don't hear anything about with a contract extension, which means they're going to let Porcello go, which I think we all know. But they had no choice with Sale. And the problem is they don't have anybody coming in their system. Not really. Well, we'll know more at the end of this year, but right now they don't have a lot coming. Murray has got your headlines. He'll get you caught up with everything. And then we'll get to the Mookie Betts contract situation because that one, to me, is far more concerning than maybe anything else they have on the roster. We'll do that when we come back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Definitely keep your ears open and see what's said, but that doesn't mean you necessarily have to agree on or take whatever is given. So, you know, like I said, I love it here. And you know, I think this is a great place to be, spend your career here. But that doesn't mean sell yourself short.
So truth be told, this is probably the far bigger story with the Red Sox in the last week or so, which is Mookie Betts and the absence of a contract extension. Chris Sale got his money. If I were the Red Sox, I wouldn't have done that one. But nonetheless, I would have waited. I'm not saying I didn't want Sale at all. I just would have waited till the end of the year because I don't think it would have cost you that much more to negotiate with him during the offseason, because I think Sale truly does want to be here. Sale's unique in that way to me. There are a lot of guys who you say, well, maybe he'll take less money to stay, and the reality is most of them don't. It took you more to keep or to get David Price here than it did, for example, St. Louis. It's hard. Some guys don't want to play in big markets. But a guy like Sale, and I felt this way all along, he's the kind of guy that would do a team-friendly deal to stay in Boston because he likes the intensity of it. And that's good. That's good, because those are the kinds of guys that the Red Sox should be in the business of signing and pursuing. Mookie Betts? Jimmy, can we play the end of that again, where he says, I love it here? We did some of this early in camp. We did sort of a contrast of it. Xander Bogaerts talking about his desire to stay in Boston. Chris Sale talking about his desire to stay in Boston. And Mookie Betts and how different they all sounded, right? Sale came out and said, this is awesome. This place is great. Great fan base, great intensity, committed to winning, all of it. And he sounded believable. He sounded passionate about it. There was conviction in his voice. So you believed him. Now, maybe he was acting, but the fact that he signed the contract suggests to me that we were right. The way we read it was right. Sale wanted to stay here, and so he signed. Mookie sounds like this.
Like I said, I love it here. And, I think this is a great place to be, spend your career here. But it doesn't mean sell yourself short.
Okay, so I love it here. It's
like
a great.
Like I said, I love it here.
Yeah, I love it here, you know, but that doesn't mean you sell yourself short. So do you really love it here or not? Because I think Mookie Betts is feeding you a line, and you like the player, which I get, because you should. I mean, he's dynamic at times, and he's wildly entertaining, and he's very, very good. Okay, so I get that. But you love the whole Mookie thing. You love the name. You love all the trimmings that go with it, and the flash, and the outfield dance, and all of that.
The megawatt smile.
Oh, they love that. The fans get caught up in that. So you like Mookie, which prevents you from seeing the reality.
Yeah, see, just real quick, so Chris Gasper of the Boston Globe agrees with you completely, because when I heard these comments, I actually thought he played it well, and I was like, okay, he's doing the right thing here, and that, you know, he's saying one thing, and that he's going to go to a free agency in a couple of years, but he also commented on the city and said he loves it here, and there was another comment that Alex Speer had that was written, there was no audio of, saying, like, he's even found a way to love the winters. But Gasper said on Saturday, he's like, well, where's any commentary about the fans and the fan base or anything like that? It's like, it's just real vague. And he's just kind of giving you a line, like you were saying.
Yeah, it's lip service. Please, I can't believe that people don't see through that. The guy doesn't want to be here. I have felt this way for a while. He doesn't want to be here. So I think he's gone in 2 years. Now, truth be told, the right way to handle that is trade him now. But we all know they're never going to do that. Okay, they're never going to do that. The rubber's going to meet the road in the offseason, though, because the Red Sox are going to have a big decision to make. Mike's in a car. Go ahead, Mike.
Honey, I think you're right. I think he's gone. It's lip service, and I think he's going to chase the money. And I don't think the Red Sox are going to pay what other teams are going to pay for him.
Okay, so
I think he's gone.
Yeah, so, Mike, then now you get into the money part of it, which is what is Mookie Betts worth? And I don't need to tell you the kind of money that's been thrown around here. What did Arenado get? 8 years, $260 million, I think it was. He got 32 and change per year. Arenado with the Colorado Rockies. He wasn't even a free agent. Okay? He wasn't even a free agent and got 32 and change per year. Machado got 10 and $300 million, exactly 30 per. Bryce Harper got 13 and 330, which was a lower AAV. But to that point, the biggest contract in baseball history until Mike Trout signed for
12 and 435, I believe is what it was.
Okay, I thought it was 432, but whatever. Yeah. Like, I was away last week, so 12 and 432, which is 36 a year. And you know what? Trout deserves it. Trout's the best player in the game. So I know you all love Mookie. Mike Trout's a better player than Mookie Betts because he can drive the ball to all fields. And he also plays center field, and, you know, there are all types of variables there. Trout's a better player. But if Trout's 432... Arenado is 260, and the other two guys are in the threes. Well, Mookie Betts is minimum coming in at 8 and 260. Max coming in at 12 and 432. So split the difference. Let's call it 9-340. 9-340. Are you doing that? Because I'm not. I'm not. Not for him. And I love Mookie as much as you do. But I also have concerns about his long-term viability as a middle-of-the-order bat. And the one thing about all those guys that we just rattled off, Machado, middle-of-the-order bat. Bryce Harper, middle-of-the-order bat. Trout bats second. But the reality is that Trout's a number three hitter or capable of being a number three hitter. Trout is a 35 home run guy in and out every year with good plate discipline, high average, all the above, who can drive the ball to the opposite field. All those guys are basically number three hitters in your lineup. I don't know if Mookie is.
Yeah, see, I tend to, despite the fact that I kind of, you know, crapped all over his postseason numbers and continue to do so last year en route to a World Series championship, I do think he is the 1B to Trout as far as the best player in baseball, so I think he is worth that kind of money. But to what you're saying, I was trying to say last week when this news broke, we were talking about it, from a devil's advocate standpoint, there may be no worse time if you're the Red Sox to try to sign this guy to an extension right now. If you think he's Andrew McCutchen, right, who won that kind of token MVP and then dropped off to become what he became since that point in 2013, why the hell would you want to give him a crazy extension right now?
Money's off the charts, Murray. It's off the charts right now. And again, I don't think he's quite that. Here's what we're going to do. Jimmy has put together a great montage recapping last season, and I think it's something you'll enjoy. So we're going to close the show tonight by playing that, and I have a couple of other thoughts. We'll give you a couple of programming notes when we come back.
Boston's most comprehensive discussion of everything baseball. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporters. Tony Mazzara, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, a couple of quick programming notes. First of all, as you know, we here at 98.5, the Sports Hub, we are your home for Patriots coverage, Bruins coverage, Celtics coverage. So what that means at this time of year is that we're still carrying Bruins games, Celtics games. There'll be draft coverage when the NFL draft comes at the end of next month. And as a result, we defer to those here on the Baseball Reporters. This is a roundabout way of me telling you that the program will end at 6:30 tomorrow. It will end at 6:30 on Friday, both nights, so that we can get you to Celtics pregame. Okay, and that will continue while the Bruins are playing in the postseason. Obviously, the Celtics will be part of the postseason as well. I'm not sure quite yet what our draft coverage is going to be, but I know we put a lot of energy into that as well with the NFL. So there will be select nights where we're done at 6:30. And there are other nights. For example, the Bruins are also playing a couple of games this week, but they're 7:30 start, so they won't interfere with the program at all. But nonetheless, just so you're aware, tomorrow's show, Friday's show, will end at 6:30. And when there are games on some occasions, we won't have a show at all. So, but generally speaking, Baseball Reporters every weeknight now through September, and so long as the Red Sox are continuing to play in October, which last year was obviously for a considerable time. Secondly, despite the belief by some, and I recognize it's not all of you, but by some, that I am somehow anti-Red Sox and kick the crap out of them all year long, I do recognize that a year like 2018 was a wildly unusual and successful year. Okay, now, I didn't believe in that bullpen in October, and I think I had my reasons. I know many of you didn't believe in that bullpen either, and the fact is, Alex Cora didn't either, because he used starters in all the key spots, whether it was Eovaldi, David Price out of the bullpen, Chris Sale out of the bullpen, what have you. Now, this year, the Red Sox have actually taken that to a new level, which we'll get to a little bit later in the week. But the bullpen next year is not going to be great, or bullpen to start this year is actually worse than it was a year ago. However, 2018 being what it was, you don't have to give it up yet, and you shouldn't give it up yet. Come Thursday, I promise you, after that, you will not hear me talking about 2018 again. But Jimmy Stewart, our producer, put together a fabulous montage. We're going to play it for you now. We'll play it for you again before the opener on Thursday. So enjoy reliving the 2018 Red Sox season.
There's a good baseball team, a team that has won back-to-back division titles. But at the end of the day, in this city, everybody wants to win a world championship.
I mean, besides the friggin' best record in baseball, I mean.
That ball is out of here for J.D. Martinez, and the Red Sox have taken a lead back.
It's kind of hard to pick one thing we're really weak at. For me to expect anything less than going to a World Series, is, I feel like I'm selling us short.
Kiss it goodbye! The third home run of the ball game for Mookie Betts!
What are your hopes for the season, Mookie, for the team and for yourself?
Obviously to win the World Series.
I'm out case of carpal tunnel syndrome.
Carpal tunnel is not an uncommon injury for esports athletes, people playing video games.
For what I know, David has played video games his whole life. It seems like Fortnite now is the one everybody's playing.
I've always played video games. I've always played it with my teammates.
I really want to play Mitch Moreland more. I don't think that Hanley is a person that sits Hanlon on the bench well.
They're all loaded. Way back it carries. And that ball is gone! The Red Sox walk it off. The X-Man strikes.
We're announcing the acquisition of first baseman outfielder Steve Pierce.
Monster seats. It's off the light standard. First third home run of the game.
Have a night.
And true to the scouting report, he hasn't walked anybody. And that's in there. Strike three. Frozen. 1-2-3 again for Nathan Eovaldi. Bounced up the middle. And through. And that's how the Red Sox have walked it off tonight. Andrew Benintendi. Mookie Betts has hit for the cycle. Watch this baby go! Brandon Phillips has put the Red Sox in the lead. 9-8 in the ninth inning. Is that some debut?
Changed a lot of stuff up, you know, here the first 2.5 years, and you know, to be able to get back to the pitcher that, you know, Boston signed. You know, that's it's about time.
The Boston Red Sox have won 100 games.
October is different.
When we show up in spring training, this is the only goal. This is it. This is what we're here to do.
Fair ball, home run, and the cycle for Brock Holt.
There's a called strike three as Eovaldi hits 100 here in the seventh inning.
The Boston Red Sox win the division series 3 out of 4 against the Yankees.
There's a new challenge, obviously. They're the world champs. To get to the World Series, you have to go through Houston, so here we are.
Bradley Jr., a grand slam!
Runs are at a premium. We never feel like enough runs is going to be enough. So, you know, that was very, very special for us.
Mookie with the jump. It looked like he was going to catch it, and he gets stopped from catching it from the hand of the fan. The fan closed his glove, and out is the call. Wow. Rafael Devers, a three-run blast!
This isn't about me. You know, I understand the narratives. I get that. You know, I deserve those narratives. But this is bigger than David Price. This isn't about me. This is about the Boston Red Sox.
And a swing and a miss. It's his ninth strikeout for David Price. A strikeout for Eovaldi as Bregman is now 0-for-4. Second time they've struck him out tonight. Dropped down a little through the riser at 102. Benintendi on the run. He's got it! And the Boston Red Sox are headed to the World Series.
This is what we prepared for all year. Chance to win a championship, and that's where we're at right now. So we're all excited, ready to go.
And we celebrated 108. Then after that, we said we got to turn the page, because in the city that we play, we knew that we were going to be judged by what we do in October.
Pinch hit three-run home run, Nunez. And the Red Sox open up game one.
3-2, Hernandez strikeout swing. Baseball up at 93, and there's 2 out. Fourth strikeout of the game for Bryce.
David was amazing, and then the bullpen did what they've been doing during October, and now we're up to it.
Dodgers leading by 4. Gone! Pinch hit, 3-run home run, Moreland. The game is tied. Steve Pierce. That's up the middle. The Red Sox
are going to take the lead. Hulk scores. Boston on top 5-4.
They're showing that they're willing to do whatever it takes for us to win a World Series. I feel that with the group we have, why not go all in?
Second time Machado has struck out. 0-2, back to Price. What a night. It's all David Price in game five. Pierce has got another. Betts has made it 3-1. Martinez goes deep. Chris Sale is on the mound. He strikes out Turner, 1-0. 3-2. Pitch, breaking ball, struck him out. The Red Sox are one out away. And the Dodgers are down to their final strike. Here comes a 1-2 pitch. Red Sox win the World Series.
Hold all the cards now. I can't tell you how good it feels to hold that trump card. You guys have had it for a long time. You've played that card extremely well, but you don't have it anymore. None of you do, and that feels really good.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.